Amen. Good morning. A little different around here this week, right? For our kids, and so we're excited for VBS. Hey, parents, we're going to have Emily's here, and so if you'd like for your kids to kind of step out, we're going to be talking about some things in Matthew today that might not be age appropriate for them, and so they're going to be getting a lesson very similar to this, but on a kid level, about how to pursue purity in their life. And so if you'd like, Emily's over here to my right and can escort them into the kids ministry area, and they're going to have a good time today. This week was actually a historic time for our entire country and for our nation. Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. And let me just say this, where Roe v. Wade ends is where our work begins. And it's one thing for us to salute and praise the judgment that came down from our Supreme Court, but it's another thing altogether for our church to, with compassion, lovingly meet the needs of our community when it comes to unwanted childbirth. And there are some folks that do have children that they can't afford to keep those children, or there's different things that go on with that, that as a church, we need to stand up and stand in the gap to be able to meet the needs of families that might not be able to take care of those children, or that they may, I hate to say this, but have an unwanted child or an unwanted pregnancy. And so as a church, let me just say this about social media. I miss the old school days of social media where people posted like their cat or like, hey, I had this for lunch, you know? And can I just say this? This is like a word to the wise. You are not going to change anybody's political persuasion with a Facebook, Insta, Snap, or any of those kind of posts. You're just not going to do it. And you're not going to change anyone or convert them to Jesus Christ through social media. And you know, you say, how do you know that? Because when Jesus came to the earth, he wasn't like, hey, let me introduce you to this cool thing called Facebook, because that's going to be the best way to get it out there. No, man, he took 12 guys and he spent the end of his life with them, pouring into them so that they would know how to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. The gospel spread through ordinary men and women like you and me, just telling other people about what Jesus has done in our life. And so I pray and I trust that Southgate, that we would represent Jesus Christ in a way that's reflected in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that we do that. And that's really what this entire series that we've been talking about in Matthew chapter 5 is all about. And we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 today. And we're talking about what it means to be a city on a hill. We've been studying how God has not only set his people apart for influence, but how we might find the greatest joy in life. God wants us to live a life of abundant joy. God wants us to live a life of fulfillment. And that joy that God offers to everyone, joy is offered to everyone. But that joy is found only in our pursuit of knowing and loving Jesus Christ. And so what we find in the book of Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount is that while God desires to transform us, it's not about moral conformity. It's not about living righteously per se, or only living righteously, because if you look at the audience in the text, Jesus was talking to his disciples, he's talking to the religious elite of the day. But what God was most concerned with, what Jesus was really driving home, is that God is most interested in transforming you and me at the level of the heart. He wants to change who we are, not just what we do. Now, today we want to read, if you will, read along with me in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. And I want you to notice, too, in every one of these, he says in verse 21, you've heard that it was said. In verse 27, you've heard that it was said. In verse 31, it was also said. Again, in verse 33, again, you've heard that it was said. In verse 38, you've heard that it was said. In verse 43, you've heard it was said. And so over and over, what Jesus is doing is he's challenging their paradigm. He's challenging their thinking. He's challenging their worldview, because he's taking an issue and he's going to look at it through the lens of the heart, because ultimately what he wants to do is change who we are, not just what we do. You guys, let me say amen. I think some of you are scared today that we're going to talk about sex, all right? Don't be scared. We're just going to talk about what Jesus said here. In verse 27, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Now, if you're like me growing up in church, sexuality wasn't talked about a whole lot. It's not really, not even in church. Like, we just didn't talk about it. And if it was talked about, it was dirty, sinful, naughty, something to be altogether avoided, especially if you weren't married. Like, you just stay away from it. It's evil, wicked, and wrong. In fact, in my wife's house, they weren't even allowed to say the word socks because it sounded like sex, and they weren't allowed to root for the Chicago White Sox. They had to root for the Chicago White Stockings, right? And so, and that's a bit of an exaggeration, but not really. But I mean, that's, some of that's generational. I get that. And so, but that's how it was kind of growing up. This week and every week, I do a message review. And so I preach to the staff what we're going to talk about on Sunday. I do that on Wednesdays. And this week, there's a young man in our church. He's 14 years old. He feels like God's calling to be a pastor. And I said, hey, why don't you sometime this summer come and be a part of our message review, see how the sausage is made, if you will, right? And of all weeks, he says, hey, I can come this week. And so one of the staff says, and they said, is this appropriate for him to be in here today? And you know, all the other kids that are going to be in there today. And I said, and he piped up and he goes, well, he said it on Sunday. That's what we're going to be talking about this coming week. And I was like, God bless you, young man. God bless you. The staff doesn't listen, but you did, right? But this young man sitting in my office this week, and he said this. I said, hey, from a young man's perspective, from a teenager's perspective, what would you speak into this message? And this is what he said. He says, you know, Pastor Jason, the topic of sex can't be avoided. He goes, I'm 14 years old, and it's talked about all the time at school with my peers. I get on video games, and it's talked about online. And he goes, I'm not interested in that, but it's being thrown in our faces. And I want to say this morning a word to our parents, because I know a lot of our parents can be uncomfortable about the topic of sex. But can I just say this? Isn't it healthy to talk about sex in the church? I mean, wouldn't it be healthy to have a Bible in hand sharing the actual words of Jesus Christ? It's a good place for an amen. Amen? I think it's good to do that. In our family, we've done everything that we can to teach biblical sexuality, and we want our girls to grow up and know that sexuality is not something that you have to be ashamed of, but it's something that God designed, and it's beautiful, and he has a plan for it between a husband and a wife. Now, the reality is, and I know this, I've been in ministry now for 20 years, but the reality is there's going to be some of you here today that have sexual baggage. You've made mistakes, and you've sinned, and you've stepped outside of God's designs in terms of how we operate in our sexuality. The church has to be a place, if you will, what Jesus said in our text, the church has to be a city on a hill. So when we think about Roe v. Wade, when we think about the LGBTQ community, while the church needs to stand out and stand up, we must be a place of compassion and not necessarily a place of condemnation. In fact, there's going to be some people in this room today that do have sexual baggage, and at the end of the day, the church has to be a place where people feel safe to walk in their brokenness. It has to be. Because there's going to be some folks that attend our church that they're attracted to the same sex. There's going to be some folks that attend our church that are trying to figure out what gender they are. I mean, that's just the world that we live in, and we cannot get away from it. And so rather than stepping into that conversation with condemnation and contempt or disgust, can we as a church be a city on a hill and a light in a dark world? And point people to the love of Jesus Christ with compassion, showing them the way of God's design. I pray for an amen. Amen? Now listen, if the church is to be anything, it must be a place for the sexually confused and struggling. It must be a safe haven for all. And if we aren't a place of grace, if we aren't a place of grace, then we haven't really come to understand Jesus at all. In fact, I want you to notice this today, that sexual purity is a journey. It's not about perfection, it's about progress. Sexual purity is about progress, not perfection. And in our text today, Jesus lovingly confronts our affections. And he reminds us where we must ultimately find our joy, where we find our satisfaction, and our deepest and greatest desires, where we find all of that. And Jesus is going to take a few words this morning and point us to the source of joy, the source of identity, the source of worship and allegiance. Because there's a lot of folks who struggle sexually. And there's a lot of folks that have unwanted behavior, and they don't enjoy living in those patterns and those rituals of unwanted behavior, of sinning and falling into shame and feeling guilt and then confessing and feeling like God doesn't love them or God will never accept them. And so Jesus shows us a better way. And sometimes when we talk about sex, God gets a bad rap. I mean, he does. God's pro-sex. He's not against it. God's not trying to rob you or me of any experience, but I want to say this very clearly, especially to our young people today. God has a plan and a design for sexuality. And we can go back to Genesis chapter 3. We can roll into Proverbs chapter 5. We can read the book of Song of Solomon. We can roll into 1 Corinthians 7. And all throughout the Bible, it's robust with God's plan and a beautiful way in which we can engage in and experience our sexuality in a way that's fulfilling. So God created sex, and he created sexuality to be enjoyed, but he did so with certain boundaries. And so the big idea today is this, and I think this is what Jesus wants us to learn today from this passage, and that is this: be careful. Be careful not to seek satisfaction in sex, but seek it from the Savior. So the next time you're struggling with unwanted desire, Jesus invites you and me to find hope and satisfaction in pursuing him and his will and his design for us sexually. And that begins with, in verses 27 and 28, the struggle for purity. It's a struggle. It begins with the struggle for purity. Jesus says in our text in verse 27, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. And like every other commandment, he's breaking it down. Because like last week, he's like, you've heard that it was said that you shall not murder. I mean, that's the low bar. Can I get an amen on that, right? Amen? That's the low bar. He's saying the same thing here. You've heard that it was said, you shouldn't commit adultery. And he wants us to drill deeper, and he wants us to dive into the motive of the heart. Why do we do what we do? Why do we want what we want? In fact, it's not whether or not, for Jesus in this passage, it's not whether or not you commit adultery. For Jesus in our text today, it's namely about where do we find satisfaction? Where do we find our identity? Where do we find our joy? You see, most of us are good at getting the low-hanging fruit. Most of us are good at pointing out the shortcomings of other people, especially when it comes to anger, like when someone yells at you or cuts you off in traffic. Literally, I've never been more harassed by drivers in my life since I've moved to Springfield, and I lived in Chicago for 18 years. It's the craziest thing. People in Springfield are just as pagan as they are everywhere in the world. This week, I was like trying to be a good husband, and on Friday, I said, hey, baby, let's go garage sailing, right? Just putting coins in the currency bank of love right there, man. I drop her off at the garage sale. I'm in the street, and I couldn't quite get by. And so I just dropped her off. No one was behind me. No one was in front of me. I'm praying to God and hoping she's in and out, so I'm just not going to even move my car. So I start looking at my phone. Lady's like, starts beating her horn. All kinds of hands gestures. Pops off at my wife like I'm an idiot. I mean, you know, not a hard target. But the anger, just because I didn't see her and she needed to get around me to go, and all she needed to do was say, hey, man, just move your car. I'd been like, cool, right? But this is what we do. We're like, oh, she's an angry person. Like, why would she be so angry? I can't believe it, you know? And we deal with the fruit of the problem without ever dealing with the root. We're good at dealing with low-hanging fruit. Sexuality, in a lot of ways, is about the motive and the desire, and what are we looking for? And what are we seeking in terms of satisfaction when it comes to how we express our sexuality? You see, sexual purity is just that. It's a struggle. And you shouldn't feel like a failure if you do struggle. You should feel wrong when you give into and give up and you don't try to do what God has called you to do as a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be clear on that today. But if you're in the struggle, if you find yourself fighting and pushing back and trying to find your joy, satisfaction, and your abundance in Jesus, that's the win. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. The defeat comes when you give in and you disregard what God has designed and outlined in the Word. And I want to just say this, sexual desire isn't a sin. In fact, being sexually aroused isn't a sin. But it is a gift. Paul talks about that. He says, man, it's better to marry than burn. What's he talking about? So sexual arousal, sexual desire is not a sin. In fact, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God that's to be directed into God's design for us in expressing our sexuality in a godly, biblical marriage. It's so quiet in here today, I'm awkward. Amen. I'm just saying. I'm just waiting for like some couple to be like, yeah, amen, Pastor. This is good stuff. Nerds. All of you. You're just nerds leaving me out here hanging. Jeez. All right. Derek doesn't even have a time. I'm taking my time today. We're just going to dig in. Now, the meaning. Let's begin with what the word lust actually means. The meaning of this word, it's the Greek word. He says lustful intent. It's not the word pornea where we get the word pornography. It's epithemia. It's the same word used in James when it says, you know, that when a man is carried away by his own desire, his own sin, that's when a man falls into sin. It's a word that means to long for, desire, to crave. It's what we would describe as an inordinate affection. It's like I see something that I want and I got to have it and I'm going to take it. That's what lust is. It's actually the same word that we would use for the word covetousness. So it's when I see something that is not intended for me or something that is not mine, and I begin to go down a path to take something that God hasn't given to me. Are you guys with me? Say amen. It's not mine. And there's a big difference between that and the other word. And so we would describe it as this inordinate affection. So it's not about not having adultery. It's about where you find satisfaction, because ultimately we look at something and we see something and we think, I've got to have that in order to be happy. I've got to have that to be joy. I've got to have that to be full. And Jesus is saying, you need to be careful about what you look at. And he's not just talking about in terms of sexuality. He's just talking about in general, be careful about what you allow in your heart to want, desire. A better way to say this is to take what is not yours. And anything where you create an alternate reality than the one you're walking in with a sexually lustful or emotionally attitude toward what is not yours is wrong. That's what Jesus is saying here. So ultimately, it's the desiring of something to satisfy the soul to the degree that we are only to be satisfied in Jesus. It's finding joy in something to the degree that we should only find that kind of joy in Jesus Christ. See, sex exposes our heart. It exposes what we worship. It exposes our motives, because see, Christ alone is to be our joy. So we want to talk not just about the meaning, but let's look at for just a moment the motive. Our biggest sex problems lurk inside of us. They're not the result of a culture that has gone sexually insane. Sex exposes our heart, our worship, and our motives. Much of our sexuality is distorted by a view of sex that treats it as ultimate, like, I have to have it. And listen, if you're a young person and you're engaged, trust me, your parents understand this. You know, your pastor understands this. I remember being a Bible college student at Baptist Bible College on the north side of town, 628 East Kearney, and I remember when the guest speakers would come in and talk about the rapture. They're like, hey, man, God's coming back any minute. And every single person in that building is like, man, I hope he doesn't come back before I get married. I mean, that was just the way it was. So you're sitting there thinking to yourself, oh, mom and dad don't understand. No, they understand, right? And so much of our sexuality, though, is distorted by a view of sex that means it's ultimate. I got to have it. I can't live without it. When Christ alone is supreme and authors satisfaction of those who follow him. Lust isn't an issue of avoidance. It's an issue of affection. Man, You can be in a church setting where you wear knees to neck, or you could put covenant eyes on your phone, but if you don't deal with the inner man and the you don't deal with this at the level of the heart, you're going to struggle in ways that are profound. Paul Tripp wrote this in his book on sexuality. He says, sexual purity begins in the heart with a love for God that overwhelms all other loves that battle for the allegiance of the heart. And what's amazing is in this struggle, and we all struggle, and maybe not with sex, but we struggle. We struggle to live righteously. We struggle to please God. We struggle to do the right thing. And when you struggle and you fail, when you confess, when you come to our faithful Father, you'll be greeted with powerful grace because Jesus promised to never turn his back on us when we come to him with a broken and contrite heart. Amen? And so for the struggler this morning, that's the heart of Jesus. He wants you to find hope. And so this morning, we begin with and we see the struggle for purity, but then we see the seriousness of it. And verses 29 and 30 says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. And in verse 30, he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. So Jesus describes to his disciples that this is a serious issue to your soul. Now, man, this is a big deal. This is very important. And he uses hyperbole to get his message across. And so before you go home and become a pirate this week, and next week you come in with an eye patch and a hook for a hand, let's look at this a little bit more carefully about what Jesus actually meant in the Word of God. Because that's not just about sexual purity. It's about where do you find satisfaction. And what he's saying there, this is what Jesus is saying. Get this with me, okay? Dial it in real quick. He says, look, if there's anything that you see that causes you to seek satisfaction outside of me, pluck out your eyes. If there's anything that causes you to reach out for satisfaction outside of me, cut off your hand. Because I alone satisfy. I alone bring the joy. I alone bring the satisfaction. I alone bring the fulfillment in life. I am ultimate, not sex. Sex is never intended to satisfy our souls to the level that Jesus does. And when you pursue sexuality at the level of ultimate worship, it's like drinking sand. The Bible says the appetite of man is never satisfied. And when you drink from the cup of sexuality, or you drink from the cup of materialism, or you drink from any cup other than Jesus, listen, my friends, you'll come up short every time. So he's calling us to be serious about the life of your mind, the intent of the eyes, about where you glance, about what you think about. It's about where you dwell and where you let your mind and heart go. And so what Jesus is saying is, listen, this isn't about you just not having an adulterous affair. It's not just about sex. It's about me and you and the relationship that I want to have with you and the satisfaction that I am offering you in turn. And so what are the steps that you and I can take to a pure life? What can we do? And here's the thing. Myself, our pastors, our ministers, and our staff, we don't want anyone to walk in shame. There's some folks in this room today that are struggling with some of these issues. There's some folks in here that are struggling, likely, with same-sex attraction. There's going to be some in here that are struggling with gender. There's going to be some in here that are struggling with pornography and addictive behavior, adulterous relationships, and on and on and on we can go. And there's some that are in this room today, and you're just like, man, I know that my choices are coming up short, and I'm not finding the joy and satisfaction in expressing my life in the way that I am. So what do I do? And what happens oftentimes is most people don't want to talk about this because it's weird or taboo or it's perverted or it's gross or it's immoral or it's whatever. But are we not a church if we can't walk with people in some stuff that's uncomfortable? Are we not a church if we can't walk with people that with some things that are just awkward? I mean, can we not be a city on a hill? Can we not be a light to the nations? And can we not be a salt as a preserving agent that lives subversively underneath the culture, bringing it back to life? So while we don't want you to walk in shame, we want you to understand Jesus Christ died to set you free from your sin. Jesus died to set you free from your struggles and anything, not just sexuality, but anything that holds you in bondage and keeps you from the joy that's found in Jesus Christ. So God invites us in this text to the renewal of our minds, not just the reining in of our desires or the reining in of our behavior. God says, look, I want to renew your mind. And that's the issue today. The issue isn't who you're sleeping with. The issue isn't necessarily the yelling that you did this week. It's why are you yelling? Why are you angry? Why are you seeking satisfaction in a lifestyle or in a way that's outside of the design for God for you to experience life to the fullest with the utmost joy? That's the issue. So we as pastors and we as spiritual leaders want to help people navigate what does the Word of God say? And I'm going to be honest with you. There's some stuff that I've had to walk in the last several months and in the last several years that in 20 years of ministry have never crossed my desk. And you know what? That's okay. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's been some times where I've been stumped and there's been some times where I don't know all the answers, right? Amen? It's a strange day in which we're living. And there's complexities to all of this. And if our hearts and our minds are not going to be rooted in the Word of God, and we can't step into these moments with compassion, we are going to fail. One writer said, your standing with God is never based on the degree of purity of your heart and the hands, but on the perfect life Christ lived for your sake, and I stand in God's righteousness, not my own. So what do we do? How can we step into a life of purity? How can we move forward when we've fallen or when we fail? Or how can we just make steps to be pure and maintain that in our life? The first one is this, pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus. You see, the problem is your heart, and the only thing that transforms your heart is Jesus Christ himself. I want to encourage you today, before anything, man, walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus in a vibrant, growing, passionate relationship. Now, for the lost person that's here today, you're trying to find, for the person that doesn't know Christ, for the person that's not a church-going person and they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're trying to live life to the fullest. You're trying to find joy and satisfaction and peace, and you're trying to do that the best way that you know how. And I'm not here to condemn you for the path that you're on. What I'm saying to you is there's a better way. Amen? There's a better way. And Christ wants you to have a relationship with him. And he wants to show you what life is really about, what living can be when you follow Jesus. You see, your desires were intended to be met by going deeper in a relationship with Jesus, not keeping a bunch of rules. The relationship keeps you pure. And if you're struggling in this area, it's not an impediment to knowing God. Some people struggle with this. Man, I got online again this week, or I drank too much, whatever. We talked about this last week. All these things that we do too much of. It's not an impediment to knowing God. In fact, while it's humbling to return home to the God who waits for us, and isn't ashamed of us, sexual brokenness isn't a life sentence. Sexual brokenness is actually an invitation to a heavenly Father that loves you. And the greatest weapon that we have against the unwanted sexual struggles that we face is a personal, passionate relationship with Jesus. And the more that you recognize your need for Jesus, the more you grow and find freedom from sin. So pursue Jesus. Second thought is this, is pursue community. Pursue community. And you might just write this down in your notes if it's not in there. Sin always grows in isolation. Sin always grows in isolation. So I want to encourage you to walk in community with other believers who know you. Walk with some people that really know you deep down. Walk with some folks that will encourage you to walk with Jesus and grow in that personally with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now look, all cards on the table. Some of you today are going to say, hey, I am struggling sexually. I might even be struggling with same-sex attraction. I might be struggling with my gender. Like, I don't know if I'm a guy or a girl. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. All these different things that we're struggling with. Some might be struggling with, like, normal heterosexual stuff where it's like, hey, I'm thinking about cheating on my spouse. Like, it could be any number of things today. And I know, man, there's this uncomfortableness to this. When I say walk in community, most of you have a hard time telling people that you even have a glass of wine with a meal every once in a while. Some of you do that. And we hide the real us. We hide who we really are. And here's the reality. The more that you hide of yourself, the more the devil will take advantage of you. I'm just going to be honest with you. The more that you hide the real you, the more the devil is going to take advantage of you. Now, the expectation is not this. The expectation is not for you to walk into your life group next week and be like, hey, everybody, cheated on my wife this week. I need your help. Can I get an amen on that? Be totally weird if you did, and I need to see you this week, right? But the expectation is not for you to do that. But here's the expectation. There is someone in your life group. There is someone or someones or a couple of people that you can share your struggle with, and they're going to want to help you walk in the ways of God. It can be one or two people, man, and you're just going to be like, I'm struggling in my marriage right now. And that's the timer. Let's get that fixed this week, Derek. He told me it was going to. I'm just kidding. You're going to walk into a situation, and you're going to say, hey, man, I need your help. I'm struggling. Things aren't good at home right now, and I'm looking over here, and I don't want to look over here. I need to focus here because this is what God wants me to do. There might be some folks in here today struggling with gender, some struggling with same-sex attraction, some addicted to pornography, and you just keep going back and back and rolling into the same patterns of behavior that you've always done, and you feel trapped, and you feel like there's no way out, but I'm telling you, there's some people in your life that love you and want to help you walk in the ways of Jesus. This is why we as a church must emphasize community in the life of the believer, because we need each other. And there have been several times in my life where my life has almost gone off the rails, and I walked away from ministry, or I just didn't want to do this anymore. And I had some brothers and sisters in Christ who held me up and pushed me forward and laid their hands on me and prayed over me and encouraged me to do the right thing. And when they couldn't help me, they encouraged me to go to counseling and get help. Jay Stringer, in his book, Unwanted, one of the greater books I've ever read on sexuality and unwanted sexual behavior, says this: lust blooms in the soil of disengagement. Your enemy, he wants you to feel like you are all alone in this. And I want to tell you today, you're not alone. You are not alone. You have a pastor, and you have a church, and you have a group of people that want to love you through whatever it is that you're struggling with today. And it might not be sexuality, it might be something totally different. The solutions that we pursue apart from Christ and community leave us more alone than we were in the beginning. And so we double down on our bet that our lust, we double down on our bet that lust will fulfill, and we find ourselves even more bankrupt. We find ourselves even more alone. And the reason many of you are experiencing failure in your growth spiritually is the result of avoiding community with other believers, being honest with your struggles, being honest with your doubts, being honest with your desires. You can find hope when you walk with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then the last one is this, is pursue wisdom. You're going to have to get smart and knowledgeable about your heart. I've been in counseling, and I go regularly, and I several years ago, I went through burnout, and you know, there are just seasons in life, and I don't know if anyone else is like this, but there's seasons in life where you doubt God. You doubt your calling. You wonder if this is it. I mean, there's all these different things that go on, and I remember meeting with a counselor, and she helped me narrow down what my triggers for unwanted behavior was in my life. Loneliness, boredom, and stress. And I want to say this, knowing this has helped me make progress over several areas that I struggle with: impatience, anger. I mean, there's a myriad of things that I struggle with. You guys seem like pretty good folks, but I struggle with a lot of sin. But the reality is I know when I'm feeling stressed out or when I'm feeling lonely, I know I have tools now that help me not fall back into unwanted behavior, any type of unwanted, not just sexual behavior, but any type of behavior. It helps me know my heart. You got to know your heart. And you got to pursue wisdom. And knowing this has helped me make progress over the years. And you're going to have to avoid some situations and locations that play to your weaknesses. And here's one right here. Young people, listen. Don't hang out with your girlfriend at 11 at night watching a movie in your pajamas. I think we all know how that's going to end. Right? Amen, parents? Amen? I mean, let's just avoid that one, right? Another would be, hey, man, like, parents, do not give your child a computer on a phone with unfiltered access. Don't do that. Put covenant eyes on their phone. Know what they're looking at. Get a report. We've done that for years with our kids. We let them have a phone at a certain age once they got older, but we made sure there was a filter on it. In fact, I really feel like everyone should probably have some type of filter on their phone. No one wants to see that stuff. And then here's another one. Get wise. Pursue wisdom. Go and see a counselor who can help you identify why it is that you're doing what you're doing. It's not enough just to stop doing something. Why do you do it? Why are you seeking allegiance in and worship with and finding satisfaction in something other than Jesus? What's motivating you to do that? You know, one of the things that we want to remind you of today is this. In all of this struggle, there's hope. Amen? Jesus Christ died for the sexual struggler. And maybe you're here today and there's some real struggles of unwanted behavior in your life that are hindering your relationship to God and hindering your relationships to others. And if you're following Jesus, the Holy Spirit will make application today in the areas where you're out of bounds. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, Jesus is inviting you to stop seeking satisfaction in sex, but to come to Him for joy. Because sexual purity is a journey, and it's about progress, not perfection. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to be careful not to seek satisfaction in sex, but to seek it in the Savior. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is going to be an awkward invitation today. I'm just going to be honest with you, but we're going to get through it as church family. How many of you this morning would say to me, Pastor Jason, I know with a certainty that Christ Jesus is my Savior. I know that I'm right with God, forgiven of my sins. And I know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, that heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand and just give testimony of that today? Now, how many of you today say, Pastor Jason, I'm uncertain. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that I'm forgiven of my sins. And I don't know if I were to slip out into eternity today. I don't know if heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you today? Is there anyone that's like that that's here today? Anyone at all? Amen. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, there is some areas of struggle in my life. I haven't acted on them. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't, I don't know. But maybe you just be honest enough with God and honest with yourself. Say, hey, there's a struggle for me, and I want to continue to face that struggle and stand following Jesus. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you today? Okay. All right, amen. Some honesty in the room today. Certainly appreciate that. And I want to pray over you this morning. Now, folks, I want to do this invitation before I pray a little bit differently. In fact, would you do this for me? Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now, church, we are family. Just because someone comes to the altar today doesn't mean they're committing adultery or they're involved in some sexually perverted sin. They may or may not be, but that's really none of our business. Our business is making sure people find their way back to God. Amen? That's the call of God in our life. And so this morning, if you raise your hand and you want to be honest enough with God, hey, listen, man, I'll be the first one to say, this is a struggle for all of us. And I want to stay on the right path, and I want to commit to that. I want to commit to that for my wife. I want to commit to that for our church. I want to commit to that for my kids. And you're going to see me at the altar this morning praying that I stay in a way that's honoring to God in this area of my life. Now, parents, I want to encourage you to do this. Our kids are living in a sexually upside-down world. And I'm going to tell you, there'd be no greater thing in all the world to see some moms and dads grab their kids by the hand and come to this altar and pray over their children that they would choose what is right when it comes to their sexuality. When it comes to pursuing God's design for them, long before they ever start dating, long before they ever get married. But we lay hands on our kids and our kids hear our voice and they sense the power of the Holy Spirit in that moment so that one day when they have to make certain decisions, they're going to remember that time with mom and dad, and they're going to feel an openness to talk to you about their own struggles. Father in heaven, it's a tough topic. And many of us, personally, are being touched by this. Maybe there's some folks in here that have had affairs. There's folks in here that are struggling with the things that we've talked about today. And there's I can't imagine that there's not a single person in this room that this topic hasn't touched them in some way, hasn't infiltrated their life in some way, directly or indirectly. God, help us not to be arrogant, to think that we can do this on our own. And God, help us not to feel shame, because we're all broken and we all struggle with sin. And I just pray, Lord, that we'd find hope in the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, many raised their hand today and said, God, I want to continue struggling. I want to continue fighting. I want to see victory in my life. And I pray, Lord, that those that raise their hand would be honest enough and courageous enough with you to walk down this aisle today, bow the knee, and humbly ask for your help. And then, Father, I pray for the families in this room today that they would grab their kids by the hand and pray with them and pray over them for their sexual purity and for their future decisions. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, on this first note, as Derek sings with us today, would you just come right now? Some families are already coming right here, right now. Let's do this with our families. Let's do this with our relationship with